Let us pray. Our God, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we are so thankful for your love, the depth of it, the height of it, the width of it. It is truly beyond our full comprehension. And we know that we are saved because of your love. Lord God, I pray today as we will open up your word, you will also speak to hearts today about your judgment. Lord, you would help us as your people to put away any Phariseeism that's in our heart, or whereby we're living by the fear of man instead of the fear of God. So Lord, help me to speak the truth and help your people to hear it. Help those who are in need of Christ to have their eyes open today to believe it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, open it up to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 12 this morning. Though our focus will be on verses 1 through 3. For today, Luke writing says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. What you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Beloved, as we have been singing even this morning, about the love of God. Most of the times in conversations about God, people tend to speak about God's love. In their appeal to those to believe in Jesus, to believe in God. Even last week, I referred to Jesus' invitation to the crowd. And rightfully so. Remember whenever I said he would speak to them and say, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. And rightfully so, he issued that kind of invitation because he was addressing a crowd of people who were beaten down, worn out by all the rules and the regulations, by the sorrow and the guilt that had been placed upon them. And they were offered no hope, they were offered no help, they were offered no grace, they were offered no rest for their souls. All they could leave with is, I hope I do enough. I hope I'm good enough when I have to meet God. They could provide really no rest for the soul. But you see, beloved, in Jesus, there is rest for the soul. That's why he could say, come to me. I'll give you rest. That's why he could say, it is finished. That's why he could say, all who believe in me shall not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Jesus could issue each and every one of those statements, and they were true statements because of who he is as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, because of what he did, because he stepped in for man, and he suffered in our place, and he satisfied God's wrath for our sins. And we know that who he is and what he did was received by God because he verified it by raising him from the dead on the third day. Thus, anyone who trusts in him, desiring to be forgiven of their sins, desiring to be reconciled to God, you are forgiven. You are reconciled. You see, beloved, I can stand here before you today and say, God is at peace with me. And there is nothing that can separate God's love for me. Because it's all through and in Christ and Christ alone. However, as we will see as we begin to make our way through these 12 verses here in Luke 12, I hope just by reading through it, you saw that there are now at times in conversations that Jesus spoke of the fear of God when he was appealing to them to believe in him. He focused more on the judgment of God, even hell itself, as a motivation for people to believe in him. Now, I know even some today may frown upon that approach, but Jesus didn't. He does so, beloved, because of the one main enemy that people have that keeps people from believing in Jesus. And that enemy is the enemy of hypocrisy. A hypocrisy that is driven by a fear, but not a fear of God, but is driven by a fear of man. You see, these religious leaders of the Pharisees and the scribes and their system and their teachings and their ways that they promoted, they were promoting hypocrisy over humility. They were promoting it was better to be fake than to be faithful. And they were doing that because at the heart of what they were doing was a promotion of a fear of man. As we look here in verse 1, it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. By hypocrisy, speaking about looking and living one way in front of others and another way when you're in private. Hypocrisy is when we're focusing on the external, while on the inside, as he described, these Pharisees were still full of wickedness and robbery and sin. You see, beloved, hypocrisy thrives and it's fueled by a fear of man. The fear of being exposed by man, this is something he's going to address there in verses 2 and 3. The fear of being executed by man that he's going to address in verses 4 to 7. The fear of being excluded by man in verses 8 and 9, and even the fear of being examined by man. This fear of being exposed, being executed, being excluded, being examined. The Pharisees knew through their system that they could keep control of people. They could have the people living by a fear of man and what they might could do to them. So as we see here in verse 1, Jesus is warning about the leaven that is the influence of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. We have seen at the end of chapter 11 where Jesus has been exposing their hypocrisy. And here Jesus is warning, saying, look, don't let their threats of exposure, don't let their threats of any kind of execution, don't let their threats of exclusion, don't let even their threats of an examination keep you from coming to me. And don't even let it keep you from staying with me, from believing in me, by recognizing that it is the Spirit of God who is behind my teachings, behind my miracles. Thus, I am from God. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Instead, Jesus is teaching them, fear God. The cure for a fear of man is a fear of God. You see, it's not what man could do to you, but it's what God will do to you. Not what man can do, but what God will do to you. You and I don't want to face the exposure, the execution, the exclusion, and the examination of God. Not on our own. Fear Him. Don't fear man. Jesus is bringing this out at this point. This is a pivotal point for the people. Look there in verse 1, the circumstances, these circumstances, this is flowing out of chapter 11 where he just confronted the Pharisees and the scribes. There's thousands upon thousands, maybe 10,000 people here are gathered together and they're stepping on one another. And he's speaking to his disciples, but beloved, there's probably a pretty good chance that even among these 10,000, maybe 90 to 95% of them are not even true disciples of his. Though they have some sense identified with him. And the hostility between Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes has reached a new level. Remember back, look at the end of verse chapter 11, verse 53 and 54. When he left that house that day, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile to him, to question him, to interrogate him closely on many subjects. They're plotting. Remember, those were hunting terms. They're lying in wait. They're trying to catch him like you catch a prey. It's going to become more and more obvious to the people that Jesus and these guys are not on the same side. And not only that, Jesus also knows their influence, their leaven, their influence is regarding the people is starting to have more of an effect on them. It's growing. It's impacting them. Because if you recall back earlier in chapter 11, in verses 4 through 16, where there's an accusation that Jesus is casting out demons by Beelzebub, that this is not just the leaders, this is coming now from the people. This is starting to swirl around among the people that are there around Jesus, saying he must be doing this by the power of the devil. A choice will have to be made here. A line's being drawn in the sand between Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes and even the Sadducees. See, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they could all align up together under one thing. We got to destroy Jesus. But they were not going to come together with Jesus. They were not going to be on the same side. And Jesus knows fear. Fear is going to be a major factor here. And they needed to be reminded who it is they should fear. Fear God. Fear God. He's the ultimate judge. And judgment is coming. So as we'll go through these 12 verses, Jesus is going to be teaching them to fear God because of the judgment of God. Fear God's accountability. Fear God's authority. Fear God's acknowledgement of you. Fear God's abandonment of you or absolvement of you. You need to fear God in His judgment. Not how they may judge you. Not how others may judge you. How's God going to judge you? That's what He's wanting to drive home to them. Now this morning, I want us to focus on verses 2 and 3. Where Jesus is teaching that may we have a fear or a concern about God's accountability. His accountability of us in the judgment. Because after Jesus has warned them of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, in verse 2 he says, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Here's the reality, according to these words that Jesus just said here in verse 2 and 3. Those living a lie for fear of being exposed before man, simply being foolish. Because one day God will take the lid off. He'll pull back the curtain so everyone can see, can be made known what the truth really is. And it's going to be shocking. Because the world, even the religious world often, those that they look at and they praise, those that they hold in high regard, when it comes to this day of judgment, it's going to be shown what they really are. According to God's standard, God's perspective. Whereas those that the world looks at, like the apostles and even us of today, the godly men and women of our day, that the world sees as scum, as the dregs of all things, they will be honored for Christ's sake. Notice what he says there. Nothing covered up that will not be revealed. That idea of revealed is to take the, it's really like to take something that's been hidden inside and make it known. Like I said, take the lid off. See what's inside of that. He says there, what has been hidden will be made known. Make known is for others to see. And understand, beloved, these verbs here, of being revealed and being made known, they're in the passive voice. They're what we refer to as divine passives. That is, they're only something God can do and God will do. And there's no escape. There's no escape from it. Anything, everything that we have ever said, we have ever done, every thought, every motivation, every reason for everything we've said, done, decided, will come to light. We'll be exposed. We will be held accountable to God for it. Notice again back in verse 2, nothing covered up. Verse 3, whatever you have said. Things we say and do before others may not match the things we say and do in private. We try to keep it covered up, try to keep it hidden from the knowledge of others. And he says there about what you have whispered. It's the picture like whispering in the ear of somebody in the inner rooms. He's saying, look, one day it's going to be broadcasted. It's going to be broadcasted for others. The inner room he speaks about here was a room that was often in people's houses where they kept the most valuable things. But it was also a little place where sometimes the people and the adults would go to get away to have private conversations. And the housetops, remember, their housetops were flat. So the picture here is someone standing up on the housetop, drawing a crowd of people, drawing the whole community there, and everything that had been talked about in the inner room is brought to the housetop and is broadcasted for everybody to hear it. Jesus reminded them there's a future judgment that's coming. And the God who sees and hears everything, who is everywhere, who even sees into our hearts, will hold us accountable. So, beloved, how foolish it is to put on a mask, to pretend to be something we are not out of a fear of man, a fear of being exposed. Because it's going to come to light. It will come to light at the judgment. And, beloved, understand, you don't want it to come to light at the judgment in that way, because then it's too late. So how about, let's just go ahead and come clean now. How about we humble ourselves now under the watchful eye of the Lord and just receive His word now? Let it expose us for who we are. Let it come into us. Let it show us we're the sinners that we are. Because, beloved, if we will allow it to do that and we will be receptive to it, that same word then will turn around and reveal to us that God has provided the forgiveness that we need through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it will show us that He will work through His word into our life to transform us from the inside out, transforming our heart. You see, beloved, let the fear of God lead us to faith in Christ. Don't let the fear of man lead you to a facade, to being fake, to being phony. This has been shown to man, his accountability to God from the very beginning. Adam and Eve were ultimately accountable to God. After they rebelled against God, they tried to hide from Him. They tried to cover up. All their efforts were futile. And every excuse they gave were simply that, excuses. God knew exactly where they were. God knew exactly what they had done. He saw through every excuse that they gave for their actions and for their decisions. So I would encourage you, even look back to the very beginning and see we're not getting away with anything. We are accountable to God. And Judgment Day is coming. Judgment Day is coming. In Sunday school, the adult class has been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes. And when you get to the end of the book, here's what Solomon concludes. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 13 and 14, listen to what he says. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. Every person. For God, he says, will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. You see, that's what Solomon understood, that the heart of all this is fear God. Because every person is going to be held accountable to God. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman, rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you come from. He's going to bring every act to judgment. Everything that we are hiding, whether it's good or bad, He's going to bring it out to see. Job chapter 31 and verse 4. Says, does He, talking about God, not see my ways and number all my steps? You ever think about that? Every step, God's numbered. Job 34, verse 21 says, for His eyes are upon the ways of a man, and He sees all his steps. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. Jesus here, and what He's describing in verse 2 and 3, He's speaking about the judgment that's coming. Whatever you've said in the dark, it will be heard. It will be heard in the light. Whatever you whispered in the inner rooms, it will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Whatever you've tried to cover up, it will be revealed. It will be made known. Let me show you a few passages that kind of talk about the judgment that we, the accountability we have to God. For a minute, if you will, turn over in your Bible, turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember what Paul says here when the church at Corinth is sitting in judgment on Paul. They're sitting in judgment on Paul's life and particularly on Paul's ministry. And Paul says, look, I've examined my heart and I don't see what you say you see in me. But Paul knows that doesn't acquit him. He knows, therefore, in verse 5, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God. He said, look, we don't need to get in the judgment business of that way. You just wait until the Lord comes. When he comes, he's going to bring to light the things that are hidden in the darkness. He's going to disclose even our hearts, the motives of our hearts. Go back to Romans just a moment. Romans chapter 2. You want to hear part of what Paul's gospel he was preaching? In verse 16, he says, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. He's going to judge our secrets. He's going to judge our hearts. He's going to judge who we really are on the inside. This is why, beloved, we've been emphasizing we need to start with the heart. God wants to start with our heart. Look, and the fear of God and this fear of judgment was a motivating factor for Paul. It was a motivating factor in how he persuaded men to believe in Christ. Look over just for a minute in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's challenging them to walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we're of good courage, and I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. The fear of the Lord, that's why we're persuading you the way we're persuading you. And we know there are some who are there among you that are taking pride in their appearance and not in heart, and you're accepting them and you're falling prey to them. He knew just what Jesus is teaching. He knew, as Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. They will give an accounting for it. Beloved, as we're thinking about this, I want to remind you of something. The world lives and acts as though they have nothing to fear from God in this life or in the life to come. But I think partly why they feel and they think that way is because we've stopped telling them. We've stopped warning them. Judgment's coming. Wrath is coming. Wrath's coming upon this earth. Wrath's coming upon your soul. God's judgment is coming. And your only protection is in Christ. That's the only protection you have. That's the only protection that will be provided. Just to remind you of this, look over in 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is all about the fear of God, the fear of judgment. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Saying, you guys are saying things continue just as they were from the beginning. That's not true. God created the world, remember, out of the water and what he did, and then he took that water and destroyed that earth. He destroyed that world, and he destroyed every single person that was alive on the face of the earth that day, except for the family of Noah. You see, they're intentionally escaping that. They're intentionally denying that. We live in a world that was renewed. today. It was flooded by water. And it is true that God made a promise, and I'm thankful He did, through the Noahic covenant, where He said, I will never, ever again destroy this world by water. But He didn't say He wouldn't destroy this world again. Why He says there in verse 7, but by His word, the present heavens and earth are just being reserved for fire. It's being reserved for a fire. It's being kept for the day of judgment. It's being kept for the day of destruction of the ungodly men. God's just being patient right now to draw in His people. He's not slow about His promise, as some count slowness. But the day of the Lord, He says in verse 10, will come, and it's going to come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Because He says in verse 12, which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. Judgment's coming, beloved. We need people to mock us, because we're telling them judgment's coming. We're telling them judgment's coming. Just being reserved right now for fire. This world's being reserved for God's judgment. And ungodly men will suffer under the wrath of God. You see, beloved, it is unwise to only care about what people think or what people may say or do to us. Because on the day of judgment, their thoughts about us and their action towards us won't matter. It won't be a factor, but God's will. As I said, you and I would rather be exposed now. I even think about the recent events where there have been men of God who have been exposed for their hiding and covering up of things in the dark. Things that they were hiding. And actually, the exposure was an act of God's mercy and grace to them. These men could thank God for the exposure, giving them the opportunity to repent, come clean. Because I think about there are some that I have seen that their lives are being exposed after their death, leaving you a concern for their souls. And they have no opportunity to repent. They have no opportunity to make it right. And beloved, what's even more tragic is there will be some people that it will not come out until this judgment. There'll be some of those standing there saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? And didn't we serve You in Your name? And didn't we do this in Your name? And the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Go into the eternal flames of hell. Beloved, may we be more fearful of God's exposure, God's accountability, than for any exposure or accountability we may fear of man in this lifetime. And beloved, it's good to have people in our lives who hold us accountable. But always remember, they are dependent. They're dependent on us being honest. On what we tell them. Whereas God's not dependent on that. God's judgment, God's evaluation, God's accountability is simply by God alone, whether you and I want to acknowledge it or not. Furthermore, we may even sometimes have a harder time forgiving. Not being impacted by what others have done to us, not God. If we repent, God is truly forgiving. He truly sees us through His Son. We're truly His. Again, Jesus knew they were influencing the people to live more in fear of what may happen to them then and there. But because of the reality of this future judgment, beloved, this is why we need Christ. Here's what I would just plead with you. Stop hiding. Stop hiding from God, because you're not hiding. Instead, humble yourself and get honest before God. Stop covering up before God. Instead, confess before God. Confess your sins. Confess your sinfulness before holy God. Confess your faith in His Son. And become a child of His that is cleansed by His blood, by His offering on the cross for our sins. Be covered by His righteousness. That's the answer. But even for us as believers, beware of hypocrisy in our lives. Beware of living a false life, if you want to say. Beware of living a life that's more controlled by the fear of others instead of a fear and accountability to God. And that is, be genuine, be real, be authentic. Be what God has called us and saved us to be. Beloved, God knows who and what we are. Honesty is always the best policy with God. He knows we're a work in progress. And He knows that work will not be completed until the day of Christ. So listen to the words of the Apostle Paul and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, with humility and honesty. Just be true. Be what God wants us to be. And it's not that you and I are going to walk through life without sin. We are going to sin. We are going to struggle. We are going to fall on our face. And God is there to pick us up, and God is there to show us grace and show us kindness and show us mercy and show us forgiveness. We just need to be honest. And if we think somehow some things we do or somehow we're getting away with it, we're not. And every person and who and what they really are will be exposed. So are you a follower of Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ? Do you love Christ? That's where it must start. Remember the accountability you have with God. That day's coming. And I want to, if I'm standing before God, I need Christ. That's it. That's all. I need Christ. I need Him. And you need to put your faith in Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to reflect on your own heart. Even as believers, as I say, we can fall prey to compromise because we have more of a fear of man than a fear of God. Ask God to work in your heart, to be reminded not only of His love, but of His judgment, of His fear, of the fear we're to have of Him. And if you're here today in need of Christ, I would plead with you, be reconciled to God through His Son. That's your only hope. Gracious God, as always, we just pray that You will take Your Word and bring it deep into our hearts to bring salvation where there needs to be salvation, to bring sanctification where there needs to be sanctification. That any and all of us leave here as changed people. Thank You for the mercy and grace that's in Christ. And thank You for reminding us again of the judgment that's to come. And Lord, may we be faithful to herald it, even when we're mocked, because we know, Lord, it is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of a holy God. So, Lord, bless this for your glory. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.